Well, it gets repeated a lot. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother. Deuteronomy, which means second law, so it means of repetition. 5:16, honor your father and mother. More in the New Testament. So it transferred, but more. A lot of quotes from Jesus. Matthew 15:4, honor your father and mother. Mark 7:10, the same. Mark 10:19, twice in one book. Honor your father and mother. Luke 18:10. And then we just read Paul applying Moses' commandments to the church. It is no doubt true that fatherlessness and abandoned fathers in America is part of a big problem. People grow up without guidance, and then they get attracted to the first one that shows any attention, even if they're trying to deceive them. And all that's true, but that's not the kind of people that are here at our church today. So that might be an appropriate topic somewhere else, usually in counseling, that kind of thing, usually not any church. So a message directed to unfaithful fathers would not fit any of today's listeners. So we don't want to transfer any criticism to anyone attending here today. And ours will be more about the positive. We don't need to look up these verses. We all have them memorized, and you recognize the list. The Hebrew word for honor, as I said in the church email this week, it means heavy, which is kind of odd. Heavy sometimes in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is literal. It said if Absalom got a haircut, his hair would be heavy. It means he has lots of hair. Give him a haircut, got pounds of hair. It said high priest Eli was heavy and fell backwards off a chair. Literal. More often it's figurative, and it can be negative or positive in emotions. Heavy in a negative sense, we often say a heavy heart. A person feels stressed or pressured. But even so, regarding fathers, and most of the time, heavy in the Bible is positive, figuratively and positive. Kind of odd to quote Al Gore, but gravitas. He would say that all the time. That's more Latin, but a person who is heavy in that sense is influential. They're weighty. They've done important things. So we'll recognize that heavy as also being important, influential, weighty. And that's what it's saying, is regard that as influential and impressive and skilled and important. Sometimes it's used in the other parts of the Old Testament of a fighter, which means they're heavy in courage, they're not afraid. Or used of character, a heavy person in character. Sometimes used of old people. And in making a Father's Day sermon, we've got all ages here. If you're like me, Dad is gone. And Grandpa and Grandma are gone. And Mom and Dad are gone. Then the thought will be, well, do what they would have done. They're gone. On the other age, we've got children here, and we've got people still raising children. So we have all kinds of directions. So regard them as heavy means influential, important, that they showed courage in fighting the battle, like a man of honor in the Old Testament that kind of was a fighter or a warrior. Sometimes used of old people. Transferred to the New Testament, Timao, we get Timothy from it, which means to honor God. The tima'o means to show them honor. That's usually when Exodus and Deuteronomy are quoted in the New Testament, that's usually the word that is being used. Deserving of respect. So, honor father and mother, we don't need to look that up. We know how many times it is used. We might ask why, and I will quote the first few sections, but why, I'll put a couple of them together. Father has taken a lot of pressure and responsibility. And number two, of course, the related, father has worked hard to provide. We do overlap. We're not quite the same. 1 Corinthians 16:13, act like a man, be strong. But I would think of Jesus talking about being a good shepherd. Now, he's talking about himself, but dad's kind of taking care of the sheep, too. So Jesus was a good shepherd, but he was not like the hireling. And the hireling would be he'd run off at the first time there was any danger. Or we could say the first time there was a responsibility, first time there was a list of things to do, the hireling would run off. So we would honor dads today who did raise kids or are raising kids and took the responsibility. It overlaps with hard work. They're not quite the same, but they do go together. Taking responsibility might also involve helping the sheep from threats and danger, but hard work, 2 Corinthians 13:14, parents should serve up for the children, not children for the parents. And 1 Timothy 5:8 is negative, but if a man will not provide for his own house, he has denied the faith. In other words, dad worked hard, and I don't know when you think kids are raised, but, you know, they're 16, 18, 20, took care of them. Took care of them. Honor your dad, he is a heavyweight. That would be honoring people who are dads today, but also respecting those that are gone and remembering them and following their example. Doing our responsibilities, and the fathers have worked hard. Let's now turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll go to another reason to honor father and mother. Hebrews 12, 9 through 11 mainly talks about fathers, and it's that they, in a lot of cases, taught us the truth. They taught us the truth and did discipline. That would be the attitude of the author of Hebrews. Interesting subject. Everybody disagrees. I think it was Luke, by the way. Hebrews 12, 9 through 11. We had earthly fathers to discipline us. We respected them. The main topic, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so we may share in his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet those who have afterward been trained by it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, everybody knows this, that when they're really little, they don't like to be told anything. They don't like to be away from, you know, we're not looking at child discipline today, but we're looking at why honor fathers, because in the cases of most people here, our older fathers, some of whom are gone, they tried. They taught, they disciplined, and maybe at the time we did not like it, but looking back, it spared some trouble, and it kept from something. Dad worked real hard, and Dad taught and disciplined. And now if you'll come with me, and I don't know which verse to use, but let's do Psalm 103:13, and I will read a few more, but Dad, at least the biblical perspective, Dad was righteous and Dad was compassionate. All right, we have you at Psalm 103:13, but I'm going to read from Proverbs. Before you read that, here's Proverbs 20, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. So let's say Dad was righteous. He did what was right, should be respected for that. And then the verse we had looked at, Dad is compassionate. Psalm 103:13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord, Heavenly Father, has compassion on those who fear him. I'd like to look this up in Hebrew. I didn't have a Hebrew Bible when I made it at home. My guess is the typical word for compassion is actually a motherly term. In the Bible, it's usually more mothers than fathers. On the other hand, it's often used of God, and I believe that's the one being used here of God. God has maternal traits, but shall we say good fathers have a little bit of it? Men have to be tough. I hope we don't get to that point where you have to shoot back. Have to be tough. On the other hand, a gentleman has a little bit of the English word's compassion. The Hebrew word is probably rakum and refers to mothers. A little bit of spoil the kids. A little bit of it. So, honor Dad. He didn't run from his responsibilities like a hireling. He worked hard, or I have to say present tense also. He worked very hard to take care of the young children still at home. And he is righteous, and he is compassionate. I have Luke 11:11 here. It also quotes Psalm 103:13, that just as the Father gives good things to his children, so God the Father is compassionate. And that's the story about if they ask for a fish, you won't give them a stone, you know. And, in the words they give them bread, we would not say give them donuts or give them a fruit pie, because this is more modern times. We make a fair amount of strawberry shortcake at our place. So Father deserves to be considered a heavyweight. He kept responsibilities, didn't run from the rules. He worked real, real hard, long hours. He disciplined and taught right from wrong, trying to protect us. And he showed righteousness and compassion. Let me come to, shall we say, the final step in this. What is the best way to show honor to father and mother? And it's okay to buy presents. That's not bad, but I think I saw an electric screwdriver for sale, and now we have weed eaters and leaf blowers, and okay, but that's not in the Bible of how to honor Dad. And let's look at some of these of what really makes Dad happy. Let's look at Proverbs 23. There's a section in Proverbs 23. It begins at verse 15, but I'll read a verse and then stop, and then read a verse and then stop, and then read a section and then stop. Let's look at Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. So what makes Dad happy? Well, present is okay, but wise thinking of a little older child. They personalize things. Wise thinking. Next verse is wise speech. Kind of listening to older child or adult child listening to them talk of wise speech. Verse 16. In my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. So, verse 15, wise thinking. Verse 16, wise speech. Verse 17, good friends. Verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. I would say envy sinners is kind of like want to fit in with them, want to get along with them, want to be in those circles. Then there's quite a bit on honoring dad, and I didn't make separate points, but let's look at verses 22 and following. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. How so? Buy truth, do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave you birth. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. So father and mother will be glad with right thinking, right speech, right friendship, and then always that we just read. That's kind of the Bible's way of honoring dad. And, in some cases, we're still raising kids. In other cases, dad is gone. But again, I have this thought, do what is right, even if dad and grandpa are gone. Do what is right because that's what they would have done. And the believers, I'm not sure they watch earth, because I don't see how that would be heaven to watch earth. But there is a cloud of witnesses, and they get reports from time to time. Next, how to make dad happy. It's Proverbs 27:11. It's like dad has enemies and dad has critics, and the children can help with that. Proverbs 27, verse 11. That's Proverbs 27:11. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may reply to him who reproaches me. I don't know what the older father says to his enemies. Might not say anything about his kids, but it might affect what he says. Kind of like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm trying not to be mad this week, but I got pretty good rejection out of public libraries in the Northwest. Good thing I replied nice and gentle. Not as mean as I could have. You don't want Nathan to reply. Probably not for the best, but this is kind of a good thing. I would say, how do you reply? I don't care. Adult children that are wise, and are like, okay, I don't care. Now let's go to Proverbs 29:3. How do we honor dad? Now this is closely related, but I think it's a little bit different, or we can apply it differently. The first part of Proverbs 29:3, a man who loves wisdom makes his father glad. Well, how do you make dad happy? Want the truth and want to do what is right. Seek the truth and seek doing what is right. Very often, Proverbs is about parents and children, but really has to be applied to like toddlers, because the child in Proverbs is kind of more like adolescent, if not a young adult, because the applications in Proverbs would not be for 5, 6, 7 year olds. The application are for people, late teens, young adults, and so on and so forth. So Very often in the Bible, there's the responsibility of the parents train up a child in the way that he should go, or our scripture reading, Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. However, as the children grow up, they kind of make their own choice. And you have that perspective in Proverbs. You have, my son, this, do this, do this. My son, do this. But the perspective also in Proverbs is the, they're at an age where the father can't control it, and they kind of decide. Kind of like, choose you this day whom you will serve. So, nurture and admonition is a duty, and at a certain point, people grow up and they kind of do what they do, and parents are responsible to try. We do have Proverbs 22:6 to bring him up in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So it was very good that they know right from wrong. We have here in verse 3, though, the how you really honor dad. Well, you know what is true and do what is true. That's how you honor dad. And the gifts were okay. Thanks for the candy bar. We had 300 calories or so. It's very, very good. And yeah. But finding right and doing right is what is honoring the dad here in Proverbs 29. Now, our last verse is the last verse of the Old Testament. So please turn to Malachi. Very last verse of the Old Testament, and we'll explain its context, and then the application to fathers and children. But the last verse is Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Lord, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's end times. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so they will not come and smite the land with a curse. Well, we're going to have to put it in its end time context before we apply to Father's Day, but this is end times. God will send Elijah. It makes me think of the Elijah plate at Passover, where the Jewish families read this verse and say, Elijah is coming, so they put a plate out. But the God will send Elijah before the end of the world. And let's think of the end times that ends with a tribulation period of 7 years. There's all kinds of disasters. And we can make a big long list of disasters, but one of them here is the broken family. Evidently, it gets worse after the rapture, not better, worse. We have struggles going on now, back and forth, it gets worse. And there's a lot of teaching in the end times in the book of Revelation, but it's usually not about families. It's like the king is coming, get ready. Two witnesses in Revelation 11, probably one is Elijah. Revelation 14, an angel flying in mid-heaven, giving the eternal gospel. So most of the messages from heaven in the end will be, the king is coming, get ready, trust him as Savior before it's too late. That's dominant. But here in this verse, it has something to do with families also. So it looks like that's one of the messages that will be needed in the end time tribulation. That's the actual timing of this prediction. We're not as bad as this. As bad as we think the world might be now, it will be a lot worse when all the Christians are gone. Wow. Think of our times in our country if there were no Christians around. Yeah. Kind of holding it together. But this will be worse. But applied to our time is honor father and mother with a good attitude and the idea that this is the right thing to do, and they deserve that. So that's an end time context. We're not in the end time. We could say honor father and mother because they deserve it. Because it is right, because we care about mom and dad. And again, we got all kinds of ages. We care about mom and dad that are gone, or we care about mom and dad that are here, or in some cases, we're still children in the home, and we care about mom and dad. But it's like easy to do. There are things that Christians can do with a bad attitude. You know, pray a lot, study the Bible, do I have to? And you wouldn't think so. That reminds me of seminary days where you have to study the Bible to get it past the test. I really don't think I ever had a bad attitude toward it because it was very, very interesting. But I think I've met some people, like, study the Bible, do I have to? Well, back to honor father and mother, and we would apply first and say, it's a choice, and honor father and mother because that is right. And honor father and mother because we want to, not just expectations. So we have looked at honor father and mother. We didn't look it up because it's repeated so many times in the Bible, but why? Considered dad a heavyweight. Well, he didn't run off. And he worked very, very hard. And they taught discipline. And the discipline was not happy at the time, but it will prevent grief. It will prevent troubles. There have been examples. The Bible's own words usually used are righteousness and compassion. So righteousness would be the way of living. Compassion is like taking care of every need and maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit on the spoiling side. How do we show honor to father and mother? Well, what we think, what we say, what friends we have, wanting to know what is true and wanting to do what is true. I mean, there are other ways of celebrating Father's Day, but that's kind of what makes parents happy when they see. And to do it with the right attitude, to do it with a good attitude, not, oh, well, it's time, I guess I have to do this. Malachi 4:6, the hearts of the fathers are to their children, and the hearts of the children are to their fathers. Well, very good. It's not exactly father and mother, but this will be Kids Week around here. And a lot of us will be in the building, but you might want to look in the back before you go home. All there's paper pine cones and paper palm trees, and it's supposed to be like a beach.